Well, hello again, brethren. Appreciated that very special music, and what made that possible is each individual sang that song from probably their home, and how it was all brought together and orchestrated and put together. So I thought that was very lovely. Appreciated Angela Helseth for recommending that for today, and for Sylvia Kennedy and Rio Knudsen and Jay Kraus getting that together for us today. I hope everyone's doing well. I want to wave. A number of you said to wave on the camera, so I'm waving to you. And I hope you're all doing well during this difficult time. Some people look at it as difficult, maybe not so much as others. We know that many in the world have looked at this situation, and we hear that they've reassessed their values, their priorities, to what extent they've done in that. You know, probably most of it that's been pretty good, but do they take it to the level of, you know, seeking out God? We know that there are billions and millions of people in the United States. There's millions of people that are looking to the government for help to fill their needs with financial aid, with a vaccine, and certain other things. And we know that the results of everything that's been going on is going to continue. It's not going to be a quick fix overnight. And Satan loves chaos. He loves destruction. And so he has, that has been allowed. That's what's been going on. And we can also look at it, as we heard in the first message, that look at it for ourselves as a test for us. Are we going to hold fast to the truth? You know, in our lives, what we've been called to, it shouldn't be focusing on the physical things. Our calling is about growing in God's instruction, about growing in God's understanding that trials and testings and persecutions and temptations from Satan, they're going to be a part of our calling. They're a part of what's going on in the world. And so we take that, and God wants to test us to see if our daily routine is going to be putting him first in our lives. So I think that's something that we are all been looking at. I mean, a lot of articles, a lot of sermons have been based on this, and I hope we're taking it to heart. I appreciated the first message as well, and I think it ties in very well with what I want to speak on today, about godly character. You know, God has given human beings something totally different than the animals. He's given us a spirit in man, to help us to build character, to make choices, to be able to, he's given us a conscience so we can discern. You know, we know what we're doing is right and wrong. And God wants us to be building that character, to have a human character, a character of brotherly love. And we see that that is not what's going on in the world for the most part. Yeah, there's people that can do nice things here and there. But the bottom line is people take advantage of one another. Now God, when he calls us, he wants us to, you know, step it up. There's a higher character that God expects for all human beings when he calls them. And he's calling some now. And the potential for all human beings is to build his character, to have his character. He wants to share what he has. He wants to share who he is. And that's the ultimate character. That's who God is. And we can't fully understand the love of God. It is as far as the east to the west, and the height and the depth. It is just so vast. To truly understand the love of God. But God wants us to develop that character. And then at some point that full understanding will come when we become spirit beings. So we can develop that godly character when he calls us, when we become baptized, when we receive the Holy Spirit, and then we, through the sacrifice of Christ that makes this all possible, through the Holy Spirit, which is the mind and power of God, can help us to grow and to overcome. And we can build that spiritual character of God. So today I've titled the message, The Spiritual Character of God. God has called us and he expects us to develop his character. What is godly character? Some people have asked me that recently. What actually is godly character? Or I guess the way it was put was holy, righteous character, which is the same thing as godly character. God is holy. Everything about God is holy. So let's look at some specific areas of godly character and what we should be developing in our lives. These aren't just the only things, but these are things that we can look at, and I think it can help. We can look at these areas to see if we're developing them in our lives, because we should, and we can build on that as well. We can ask the question, do we have a desire to obey God? Do we have a desire to build godly character? We should have that. I mean, during this current time, we have time to reflect. We have time to fast. Not to fast for our will, but for God's will to be done in us, to help us to see, to overcome our desires, our selfishness, our ways, and to seek godly desires and asking for help to be able to share what we have, to give of what we have, to have the right mindset, to truly care like God cares. So we humble ourselves as we fast, and we ask God to guide us and to direct us to be a light in the world. And as Mr. McKean was talking about earlier in Acts chapter 8, when Saul was only hurting himself by persecuting others, and God allowed the church to be scattered. And if you continue reading down from where Mr. McKean left off, the people that were scattered, what did they do? They preached the gospel to those around them. They didn't give up. You know, God has different thoughts and different plans for us and what we need to be doing, but what we always need to be doing in our lives is learning from God what he wants of us. So he wants us to build his character. So I have 4 points. All right. And in these 4 points, I talk about, you know, the character that we need to developing, but I also show in these 4 points God's character, because God is the one who sets the standard. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, or actually it's John, I think it's John 4. Yeah, John chapter 4 and verse 24. And this is God's character. John chapter 4, verse 24. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We know that God is worthy. What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? We know that the flesh of itself, as we heard in the first message, cannot please God. It's only those who have God's Holy Spirit. God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. God must call a person to know his ways, to open their minds, and for them to respond. And then they begin to understand the human potential of what God expects of them. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. In this process of God is spirit, And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know, spirit, you know, God does not sin. His character is who he is, and he has a standard. And he wants us to be like him. He wants us to be his standard. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, let's start in verse 7, we'll read a few verses. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God. So, if we don't have God's Holy Spirit, we can't worship him in spirit, and therefore we don't understand truth. Okay? So it's the flesh, those who are not called by God, don't have his Holy Spirit, understand his truth. It's not a type of worship that God is looking for. He wants to open their mind to help them to see their sins. Nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Okay? But you are not in the flesh, is what he's telling us. But you're in the Spirit. Why and how? If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So God's Holy Spirit needs to dwell in us. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So Christ is not working with them yet. And if Christ is in you, Christ is in us, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, he's talking here, okay, he's talking to us as already been called and received the Holy Spirit. And he's telling us that we're not to reject God's calling. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, which dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but we're to live according. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. That's not what we've been called to. We're called to come out of the self-seeking. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if to the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So if we're developing godly character through his Holy Spirit, through the forgiveness of sin, and through the life of Jesus Christ to help us to be reconciled to the Father, they can live in us and we can grow in godly character. For verse 14 tells us that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So those who follow God, those who obey God, are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And they will grow in godly character. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. And again, if you go down, continue that, God is our Father. And if indeed, if we follow, and following God's way of life, also we suffer with him. We're of the family together. We finish the race together, so then that we may be glorified together. Those who worship God in spirit and truth understand that God and Jesus are both God, two individuals, one entity, one, two beings, but one God. All things were created, and where it tells us in John 1 that all things were created through Jesus Christ, and nothing was made that was made without him. So both beings created. And we know that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, and we are to die ourselves to sin and live to God. You know, we understand that. That's spirit and in truth. We understand that God is not a Trinity. He's not just three people. He's a family. And the Holy Spirit is God's mind, and called God's Holy Spirit. He gives that power to us. Let's go to 1 John. Now, we have God's Holy Spirit. I'm talking to those who have been called and been baptized and received God's Holy Spirit from God, John 6:44. And follow that process. All right? Now, John, in 1 John chapter 3, is talking to the church. He's talking to those who already have God's Holy Spirit. Okay? And so, just because we receive God's Holy Spirit does not mean we've already made it into God's kingdom. We still have to overcome. Verse 4 of John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So we know that we break God's law. That's what 1 John chapter 1 says. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 tells us that we sin, that we mess up. But it's not something that we want to do. But so when we sin, we're breaking God's law, and so we do that. And if you know, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and talk about Jesus Christ, and in him there is no sin. So whoever abides in him, so whoever remains in him with that Holy Spirit, it says, does not sin. Well, does not practice sin. We don't want to sin, is what it's saying there. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. So, if we choose to not repent, then it's as if we have never known God. He can't live within us if we kick him out. Little children, verse 7, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who practices being made right to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, asking for our sins to be forgiven and help to overcome sin with each other and making sure that we are living right with one another as we go before God and ask for our sins to be forgiven. We are made right through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's our process. That's our process. God is holy. He's without sin. And we can be without sin in this process. Just as he is righteous, he who sins is of the devil. That's what Satan wants us to do. He tempts us. He is the tempter. We also know that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we need God's help. We know that and understand that the wages of sin is death. So, that first point, that is many sermons of itself, but that is God's character. He is without sin. He is spirit. He is worthy of worship. And we must, through this calling, do what he asks us to do to also be made right to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Point number two. God cannot be tempted by doing evil. God cannot be tempted by doing evil. In other words, Satan came to tempt Jesus Christ. And Christ would not, could not give in. God cannot be tempted. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. God cannot be tempted to sin. God cannot be tempted to do evil. That's point number two. So James chapter 1, verse 13. Start in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. We must endure. We must overcome it. And it's a process that we work with every day. For when he is approved, and that's at the end of our life, our last breath, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. who love his ways, who worship him in spirit and truth, who are not tempted by evil. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But we do evil. We can be tempted. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full blown, gives forth death. And that's, brethren, that's you and I if we choose to do and practice evil. Now, there are times when we make mistakes. And we hate what we do. And that's a good thing. And we shouldn't get down on ourselves. We can give God thanks for that. And I'll talk about that in point number 4. But God guides us. He directs us. He leads us. And he can't be tempted to do evil. And for us to build godly character, we too should not be tempted to do evil. We should want to overcome it. And that's why we fast. To humble ourselves, ask God to help us to overcome these huge obstacles that sometimes we can't overcome just through prayer, just through meditation. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, I think is important. 10:26, just real quick, says, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So we can sin willfully, meaning we're not going to repent. We've seen it happen. It was talked about in the first message. We can knowingly know what we need to do and do not do it. That is sin. That is sin. We must have a drive to overcome. We must have a drive and a love for God's way of life. And Satan, his whole desire is for us to not love God's way of life. He tells us, there's another way. And look what the world is going through. They don't want to give up their fun. They don't understand the fun that they seek and live is what's causing them harm. Let's turn over to one more scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, I think drives this point home. That it's through Jesus Christ, you know, that we are created and to be able to do good works. This is a process that's woven, God doesn't forgive us unless we're loving one another. And if we're not loving God and obeying him, we can't love one another. And I think that maybe we'll turn there in just a second, but let's, in this process of being growing in godly character, Ephesians chapter 2, let's start in verse 3. Ephesians 2, well, actually, let's go verse 1. And you, all right, he, this is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of the world. So we once walked this way that was contrary to God. We didn't know any better. We had a conscience, okay, but we didn't know to the point that, hey, we need to be building holy, righteous character. But we walked the course of the world according to the prince of the power of the air, who has control over the world. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. And that's what we have come out of, and that's what we don't want to go back into. That's what we want to keep overcoming. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love. So here, God, who's rich in mercy, very merciful, because of his great love with which he loved us. And we know that he gave his only begotten Son. And we know that Jesus died for us. And we are to walk in the same path that they've walked, to develop that character, that holy, righteous character made possible through what we learned through the days of unleavened bread. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. How? By grace, by his favor. And it says, by grace you have been saved. Well, that actually is not right. Should say, by grace you are being saved. We're not saved. Yes, the whole ultimate process, God wants to save us. But it's not once saved, always saved. We still have a responsibility to build godly character in our lives. So we are being saved and raising us up together and made us sit together, or making us sit together in the heavenly or the spiritual places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. In Christ Jesus, for by grace, says again, you have been saved, but it's you are being saved. How? Through faith. Through their calling. Through hearing God's word and applying it in our lives and becoming godly. That not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works. We can't boast of the things that we have done and that we do. It says, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship. We're being developed as we humble ourselves before God to live his ways. It says, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has done this beforehand, and that we can walk in God's ways and overcome evil. Point number three, let's go to 1 John chapter 1, is God is love. God is love. And I know it's can be a hard concept to really grasp. God says that we're not going to fully grasp it now. The world will look at that as an easy way out, that God is love. He sent his son to die for us so that we don't have to keep the law. And we can do whatever we want. We just have to accept him as our Savior. So it's a false concept. It's a false concept. You can't build holy, righteous character doing that, can we? So point number three, that God is love and he wants us to be loved. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides, or he who remains in love, remains in God and God in him. So if we're wanting to be like God, we wanted to develop our character and our actions and the things that we do, you know, loving our wives, loving our neighbor as ourself, focusing on others and making sure they're taken care of, making sure that we're not gossiping about them, making sure that we're esteeming them better than ourselves, that even if we think our way is the best way, it's humbling ourselves and not pushing our way. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, because it's we have a relationship with God, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That's how we are to be living our lives. And of and by ourselves, we can't do that. We need God's help. And so we ask for God's guidance and direction, and when we don't know what we're going to do and how to do it, we go to God and ask him, you lead us. You guide us. Verse 18, there's no fear in love. No fear. How many of us had some type of fear during this epidemic? We can ask ourselves that. But there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And we're able to love him because he first loved us. That concept of I love Jesus or I love God without being called by God and receiving forgiveness of sin and understanding that we're sinners and we need our sins forgiven and we need God's mindset and understand that God loved us and is paying that penalty for our sins makes it possible then that we can love him. Because he first loved us. Verse, chapter 4, let's go to verse 1. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every person, is what it's saying. But test the spirits. Test those who speak. Test those. There's many that do speak on behalf of Jesus Christ, whether they are of God or not, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So what we're teaching from God's word. We're teaching his ways. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. In verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. People preach a different Christ. They'll preach a wealth and health gospel. Give me your money and you'll be wealthy and healthy. You're of God, little children. We are of God. That's not what we believe. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what we seek. People seek health. They're seeking wealth. And so they find preachers that teach that. How many people are coming to hear the truth? What? No money for me? I have to give that up. I have to tithe, I have to give offerings, I have to put God first, I have to overcome my idols. It doesn't make sense to them. It makes sense to us. They are of the world, verse 5, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So the world will hear that message. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear. They're not of the family. They're of themselves. Yes, they have family. Yes, they do good things. But they're not of the family of God. Understanding what God and his Son have done for us and what they want to develop in us and building his character. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So God has given that to us. God is love. And if we follow his ways of love, we can understand the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And let's continue, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God, or in other words, engendered from above, receiving God's Holy Spirit, and knows God. He who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. We have to understand that God truly loves us and sacrificed himself for us and wants us to develop his character. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because I think, you know, we're looking at God is love and we can, let's apply an example of how we are to be living. 1 Peter chapter 2. here. So 1 Peter chapter 2. So here, let's start in verse 18. It says, servants, be submissive to masters. Be submissive to those who are over us. We all have someone that's over us, you know. We have our bosses. We have our mates. You know, there's times that, you know, I go into the kitchen. That's my wife's area. I ask questions. I don't just storm in there and start taking over. Our wives are to be helpers to the husband. But we have authority in the church. We have different levels of administrations, and we have to follow. We have to follow our masters. And we've known in the past not everyone has followed their boss, have they? Usually in the world, I'm not happy with my boss, so I'm going to get a different job. And sometimes it's good to get a different job because you can do that. But we shouldn't be speaking evil of our boss, even if they are harsh. But it says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, because that's what God requires us to do. We build godly character. We build holy, righteous character through the power of God, through his mindset working in us, as they live in us. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. That's what God said we're supposed to do. If we are corrected, if we are in any way demoted or whatever the situation, accused of something, it says, and we didn't do it, and we take it humbly, this is commendable before God. God hates division, doesn't want businesses to be divided, doesn't want our politicians to be divided, doesn't want spiritual organism, the body of Christ, to be divided. We all make mistakes, we all sin. It's not something that we want to do, but we take it humbly. Verse 24, what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, you take it patiently. This is commendable before God. So when we're corrected for doing something wrong and we take it humbly, that's commendable before God as well. So here we see that we can build holy, righteous character by being like God, being love. For this you were called, verse 21. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Follow his steps. Verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth? Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return? When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, to God, who judges righteously. So it's in God's hands. And this is difficult if we are, in our lives, not being like God, not developing holy, righteous character in being love. It says, Christ, who himself bore our sins, verse 24, and his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Because of Christ, we can be made righteous. We can go before the throne of God and ask God to help us, to forgive us, and to help us to overcome. How? By whose stripes you are healed. We're healed by him taking on that death penalty for us, for him suffering because of sin in our place. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the sheep herd and overseers of your souls. put a point number four in godly character and also what God's character is. Go to Romans chapter 2. God is good. God's goodness helps us to overcome. Sometimes we look at overcoming as, do I have to do that? We shouldn't look at that. We should look at overcoming as, all right, that's God's goodness. He wants me to develop His character so I can be a delight to others, so that I can be ultimately in His kingdom. And hopefully in my life I can help others see God's way in the way that I do. We should want to share that. We should want to be a delight. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. And here we're talking about, Paul is talking about that, hey, we need to overcome sin. But he goes into verse 4. It says, do you despise the riches of His goodness, of God's selflessness? Here's God who's existed forever. His Son existed forever. And they're willing to sacrifice themselves so that we can develop the same type of character that they have and to receive eternal life. So do we despise the riches of His goodness? That's God's character, to give of Himself, to lift others up, to give others what they have. It says, do you despise the riches of His goodness, His forbearance, His tolerance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So His goodness leads us to be like Him. God helps us to make those changes in our lives. That's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we can be on this quest to build holy, righteous character in our lives, to make those changes, to reflect during this time, to put God first in all that we do and want and desire to become like Him. So if we're following God, if we're led by His Holy Spirit, we will develop holy, righteous character. As God leads and shows us what we need to do, and as we seek His understanding, He will help us to develop that character. If we follow Satan, right? And Satan is the adversary. He's against God. He promotes evil. And if that's the way we go, then we're developing evil character. So depending on what type of character we're developing will determine if we're going to be in God's kingdom or not. That's pretty simple. We understand that statement. But as we heard in the first message, what excuses? What excuses are we using? We need to get rid of those excuses. God gave us a mind to make choices. And those choices can be capable of building holy, righteous character or not. We have that choice. All sin carries the same penalty. All sin. So if we're holding on to a certain sin in our lives and we don't want to give it up, but we're working on everything else, we still have the death penalty. All sin, every sin carries the death penalty. We know that we had the two trees in the garden. Adam and Eve could have chosen, the tree of life to receive God's Holy Spirit, to develop holy, righteous character. But they chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why did they choose that tree? God instructed Adam. He taught Adam. Adam taught Eve in that short period of time as they were created that this is God. God said He's created us. He's made us. He's given us each other. He's given us this whole garden. He says, don't eat from this tree. Here we had Satan, who's very cunning, who will twist things to deceive people, to get them to do what he wants them to do. And that's what he did. They knew they weren't supposed to eat of it. Adam knew he wasn't supposed to. Eve knew she wasn't supposed to. But Satan deceived Eve. He tricked her, just like he's doing today. Adam was there, and he willingly disobeyed. And there are people that know the truth, but they willingly disobey as well. God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, as we wrap this up, let's turn over there real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 30, blessing and cursing chapter, but I think it's worth turning to. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth as witness against today against you, that I have set before you life and death. So God's saying, hey, choose this way. Build holy, righteous character and have life. Choose evil, follow Satan, give in to your human nature, and you will receive death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And since we're in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, what does God say? Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Satan is very cunning. He will want us to take away. He'll want us to add. He'll want us to do whatever is contrary to God. And that's what we must overcome. I think it's good that we can go back and read Galatians 5, verse 16, through the end of the chapter. Talks about Satan's character. Talks about God's character. Talks about Satan's character that we will have if we follow Satan. And the character that we'll have if we follow God. God's potential for human beings is to be like him. That's potentials for all human beings, and all human beings have a choice. God's character is who he is, and God wants us to be like him. So today we reviewed four areas of God's character. God is without sin. He wants us to be without sin. He's set up that process for it. He shows us that we're weak. He shows us that he's there to help us. So we were showing today that God wants us to have the same character, that he wants us to be developing it in our lives. And so the same question I asked earlier in the SPS is, same question I'll ask you now. Do we have a desire to obey God? Brethren, we should. I encourage you. And we should encourage each other to move forward. Through this difficult time, we can use it to grow closer to God. To make those changes in our lives that we need to change. That God is showing us that we need to change. Let's take advantage of it. Let's be like God and allow him to develop us. To develop his character in us.